From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Pope Benedict is leading Easter Sunday Mass at the Vatican. It's a colorful day at the Vatican. St. Peter's Square is decked out with thousands of flowers in full bloom donated by Holland. Tourists are also waving scarves and flags. In his traditional Easter message, the Pope called for an end to the fighting in Libya. He said that politics in North Africa and the Middle East should be based on respect for all. He also appealed to Europe to welcome people who are fleeing the fighting. An official with Muammar Gaddafi's government says Libyan tribal leaders are negotiating with rebels in the besieged city of Misrata, but may send their own fighters in if talks fail. Gaddafi's forces pulled back from Misrata this weekend. Misrata is the only major rebel stronghold in western Libya. It's been under siege by the government for 2 months. The rebels say they are skeptical that Gaddafi's forces will fully withdraw. Two Syrian members of parliament have resigned to protest the government's bloody crackdown on demonstrators and in a dramatic gesture. NPR's Deborah Amos says they announced the move on live television.
The two members of parliament represent the town of Daraa, where security police opened fire on Friday and again shot at mourners burying the dead. The announcement came during a live broadcast on a popular Arabic satellite channel. The Syrian officials said they resigned because they could no longer protect their constituents. The remarks come as the leading religious figure in Daraa also quit in protest. The dramatic resignations come after a bloody crackdown on Friday across the country and further state violence today in attacks on funeral processions. Human rights groups in Syria report that more than 100 people died during the peaceful demonstrations. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Beirut.
Japan is putting more boots on the ground in the effort to find victims from the earthquake and tsunami. The government says it's sending some 25,000 soldiers into the disaster zone beginning tomorrow to help recover thousands of bodies. Meanwhile, Stuart Cohen reports from Sydney that Australia's prime minister is the first foreign leader to make a personal visit to the tsunami zone.
Julia Gillard was given a tour of the small fishing village of Minami Sinrikyu by the town's mayor. The town lost nearly a tenth of its population when the tsunami hit. Gillard says what she saw left her speechless.
Coming here and seeing these images is incredibly confronting. Incredibly confronting to see how much damage has been done. It's like the place has just been bombed into oblivion.
Gillard later paid a visit to dozens of children at an evacuation center nearby, bringing food and toys like stuffed kangaroos and koalas donated by Australian companies. This was the last stop in a three-day visit to Japan, where Gillard pledged Australia's support for the country's rebuilding efforts. For NPR News, I'm Stuart Cohen in Sydney.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Main airport in St. Louis is at least partially back open after being heavily damaged in Friday night's tornado. Some flights were allowed to land late yesterday at Lambert St. Louis, and officials say they expect to handle about 70% of normal traffic today. Airport Director Rhonda Hamnebrigge says travelers hoping to fly out of the airport should use mass transit to get there instead of trying to drive.
We would encourage as many people as possible to use Metrolink. We still have parking garages and lots that have damage on them, and we're still trying to work with the passengers getting their cars out of some of those lots.
Elsewhere, Missouri's governor says some 750 homes were damaged in the St. Louis region by the tornado, but no one was seriously hurt. He toured the region by air earlier this weekend. Rising floodwaters are threatening parts of western Canada. So far, more than 1,700 people have been forced to leave their homes. And as Dan Karpinchuk reports, hundreds more in southern Manitoba are preparing to evacuate.
Manitoba's many rivers continue to swell, with dozens of communities facing the threat of flooding. Now about 700 native people on the Rousseau River First Nation may have to leave the reserve quickly. It's one of the worst affected areas in western Canada for flooding. Officials say the water levels continue to rise and the ring dike surrounding the community could be breached at any time, flooding the area within 15 minutes. In some places, major rivers such as the Red Souris and the Assiniboine have already overrun their banks. More than 45 communities in Manitoba and Saskatchewan have declared local states of emergency. Hundreds of roads are closed, and truckers hauling goods from southern Manitoba to the U.S. face detours of nearly 100 miles to reach the border. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
And I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News in Washington.
Support